B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Daf Chof Dalet. We're going to start seven lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis. Boya minei Rav Yosef Bered Rav Nechunya Mirev Yehuda. Rav Yosef asked the following question from Rav Yehuda. Mahu shi'aniach odom tfilov tachas mirashoisov. Is a person allowed to put his tefillin underneath the pillow that he's sleeping on? Says the Gemara, Techas Mirag Loisov, under his feet, or the rest where his feet are resting on, Loikomi Boile. That's Poshet that it's Osa, Shenoeg Behen Minig Bizoyen. It's disrespectful, it's inappropriate, and it's disgraceful. Ki Komi Boile, the whole question is just, Techas Mirag Loisov, under his pillow. Mai, what's the halacha? Omale, Rav Yehuda answered to Rav Yosef, Hochi Oma Shmuel, Mutter afilu ishtoi imoi. Shmuel said it's mutter to put one's tefillin under one's pillow, even when his wife is with him, and this is referring to even when a person is being mekayim mitzvahs oino. Ask the Gemara Meisvei. Lo yaniach odom tefilov tachas meragloisov mipnei shenoeg behen derech bizoyin. A person may not put his tefillin under where his feet are because it's a bizoyin. Avol manichon tachas merashoisov. But he's allowed to put it under his pillow. Vim hoiso ishto imoy, however, if his wife is with him, also, then it's not muta, it's also. And this seems to be contrary to what Rabbi Yehuda said. Hoya mokim shagavoya gimul tfachim, however, if there's a ledge, a place, three tfachim higher than him, oy nomuch gimul tfachim, or lower three tfachim, mutter, then it's mutter to put one's tefillin there. Tiyuvta de Shmuel tiyuvta. It seems from this brisa that halacha is not like Shmuel, that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that afilu ishtoi imoi it's muta. There seems to be proof against that. Omar Rava, afal gav de tanya tiyuvta de Shmuel, even though we refuted Shmuel from a brisa, nonetheless hilchasa kavosei. We do rule like Shmuel that if ishtoi imoi, even if ishtoi imoi, it's muta to put one's tefillin under one's pillow. My tama, what's the reason that it's muta? Kol lenaturenhu tfei odif. Since the reason that the tefillin is being kept in the bedroom is in order to protect them, and we've seen this concept earlier on, that sometimes there are mice that can attack the tefillin, sometimes thieves can steal tefillin. In order to protect the tefillin, that takes precedence over any type of bizoyan that may be caused to the tefillin. It's true that preferably it's a bizoyan and one should not have the tefillin in the bedroom, but in order to protect them, it's muta. Continues the Gemara. V'heicha monach lehu. Now that we know that he's allowed to put the tefillin under his pillow, where exactly? Omer v'irmia bein kar lekeses. And the truth is that I translated all the time when it says mitachas merashoisov, the literal translation is under his head. And I translated it under his pillow because of this Gemara. And here the Gemara is asking, what exactly does tachas merashoisov mean? The Gemara says between the kar, between his mattress, lekeses, and his pillow. But not under his head. It shouldn't be just under his head, and not only that, even when it's between his pillow and his mattress, shaloik neged roisho, it should not be under where his head is. Where his head is on top of the pillow, he should not put the tefillin directly under that. He should put it under his pillow a little bit to the side. Asks the Gemara Vartoni Rabchia Manichin Bekoiva Tachas Merashoisov. It says that one's allowed to put tefillin in its pouch under a person's head. Says the Gemara, the mapik le murusha de koiva lebar. The bag where the tefillin is being held can be directly under where his head is, but the bulge where the tefillin are, they should be a bit further out, and they should not be under his head. Says the Gemara, bar kapora tzair lehu bechilta. Bar kapora would wrap up the tefillin with the curtain that surrounded his bed, umapik lemurshoin lebar, and the bulge where the tefillin were would be outside, protruding beyond the bed. Rav Shisha Bereizer of Idi, what did he do with the tefillin? Monach lehu ashar shifa, he would put them on a stool, uporis sudra aluvayu, and he would cover some with some material or some scarf on top of the tefillin. And this is in accordance with halachas that, because of tznius reasons, the tefillin have to be kis patoich kis, they have to be in their pouch and also have a second covering on top of them. Continues the Gemara, Oma Rav Hamnuna Bereda Rav Yosef Zimna Choda. Rav Hamnuna says, once have a ko'imna kameda Rava. I was in front of Rava. V'omer li, and Rava told me, zil aisili tefillin, go into my bedroom and bring me the tefillin. V'ashkachtinu bein karo lekeses, and I found them between his pillow and the mattress, shalei k'neged roshoi, a little bit to the side, not directly under where his head would have been. V'hava yodana d'yoyim tvila hava. If he put his tefillin in that position, we knew that it was a yoyim tvila. Rashi says it was Yom Tvila, means that his wife was Tovel the previous night, and therefore he was Mekayim Mitzvahs Oina. And Rabbeinu Yonah says it's talking about that Yom Tvila, that he himself, Rava himself, went to the Tvila that morning. And that's why it's called Yom Tvila, that morning, which was proof that he was Mekayim Mitzvahs Oina the night before. And he said that the reason that Rava told me to go and fetch the tefillin was because he wanted to teach us that halacha was like Shmuel, that even when ishto imoyin is being mekayim mitzvahs oina, the tefillin are allowed to be under his pillow and do not need to be away from the bed, like we thought before, on a step higher than him 3 tvachim or lower than him 3 tvachim, they were allowed to be under his pillow as long as they were protruding beyond where his head was lying. Continues the Gemara. Boya minei Rav Yosef bereid Rav Nachunya mirav Yehuda. Rav Yosef asked Rav Yehuda, Shnayim sheyishenim b'mito achas, if two people are sleeping in the same bed with no clothes on and they are touching each other, Mahu sheze yachzir ponov v'yikra kriyas shema v'ze yachzir ponov v'yikra kriyas shema. If they're facing each other and the ervus may be touching each other, it's clear one is not allowed to say Kriyas Shema in that situation. The question is, if they turned away from each other, it was, and they were back to back, is it mutter for them to say Kriyas Shema like that? Omer Le, Rav Yehuda said to Rav Yosef, Hocha Omer Shmuel. Shmuel said that it's mutter to say Kriyas Shema, v'filu ishtoi imoy, even if that second individual is his wife. Maskiflo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked, Ishtoi v'loy mi boya achir. When it says afilu ishtoi, it seems that it's easier and more straightforward to understand that if the other individual was another man, that it's muta, and there's a chiddush that it's even muta if it's his wife. Adar Rabba, says Rav Yosef, ishtoi kagufa, if it's his wife, it's easier to understand, since his wife is considered as being an extension of his own body, then there's less hiru and there's less reason to say that it should be asa. Achir, that lav kagufoi, but somebody else who is not kagufoi, they would be a bigger chiddush if it would be mutter to say Kriyas Shema like that. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei, we're going to ask a stira against Shmuel now from a brisa. Meisvei shnayim sheyishenim b'mito achas. This is brisa number one. If two people are sleeping in the same bed and they're both not wearing anything, they can each turn away from each other, back to back, and they are allowed to say Kriyas Shema like that. But in Braisa number 2, it says as follows. Hayoshon b'mito, if somebody is sleeping in a bed with no clothes on, ubonov ubnei beisoi b'tzidoi, and his sons and his other family members are with him in the bed, all not wearing clothes. He's not allowed to read Kriyas Shema, Elohim kein hoiso talis mafsekes b'neim, unless there is some cloak, cover, some material between the bodies of the person, between the person who wants to say Kriyas Shema and the others. But just turning away from them is not enough, which seems to contradict Braisa number 1. And the Braisa carries on, Vim hoyu bonov ubnei beisei ktanim, if the other members of this family who are sharing the bed with him are ktanim, we'll soon see what age that means, then muta, there's no problem of hiror, there's no distraction, and he's allowed to say Kriyas Shema. Says the Gemara, Bishleim le Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, who said that if his wife is the other individual, it's muta, but if it's other people, then it's possibly not muta. Loi kasha, then there's no contradiction between the two brises. Ha b'ishtoi, brisa number 1 that says you can turn away from each other is when the other person in the bed was his wife. Ha b'achir, and the second brisa that says that you need to have a talis, a cloak between them, and turning away is not enough. That's because there were other individuals. Elo l'Shmuel, according to Shmuel, that says that also other people, also his wife, they can turn away from each other, and it's muta, kashya, then it's shver. What's going to be in the second? How's he going to understand that second brisa that says that if the vulnerable bnei beisai are with him in the bed, then he has to have a talis and he cannot just turn away? Shmuel says it's enough to just turn away. Omelecha Shmuel. Shmuel responded, Rav Yosef minicha. Rav Yosef, who said that if it's his wife, it's muta to turn away, and if it's others, it's not enough if he turns away. It also doesn't help. Why? Vatanya, in that brisa number 2, it says, Hoya yoshen b'mita, ubonov ubnei beisai b'mita. Who was with him in the bed? His sons and his other family members. Who are the other family members referring to? It's including his wife. And nonetheless, you need a talis. And it says there, Lo yikra kriyas shema elam ken hoiso talisim avsekes benim. Elomai, how are you going to explain according to Rav Yosef? Mayis loch lemeimar, what are you going to say? Ishtoi le Rav Yosef tanoihi. It must be that Rav Yosef will say that I, Rav Yosef, hold like brisa number 1, that if it's his wife, he can turn back to back. And in the second brisa, that seems to say that even if it's his wife, he cannot turn back to back, he doesn't hold like that tana. If so, ledidi nami, I also hold that there's a machlekas between the two brises, tanoihi, it's a machlekas. And I, Shmuel, hold that the first brisa is either his wife or anybody, they can turn back to back to each other. And the second brisa that says that you cannot turn back to back, it's not enough, you need to have a talis, I argue with that brisa. I hold like the other tana. Continues the Gemara. Omar Mar, and this is a quote from the above mentioned brisa number 1. They can each turn away from each other and say Kriyas Shema. Says the Gemara, it's very good that if they're turning away from each other, then the erva, the private parts of each one, are not touching the other person. V'ho'ika agovis, the behind of a person, which is also considered, at least the Gemara understands that, so at this point, it's also called an erva, and then they're touching each other. And if any part of a person's body is touching anyone else's erva, then he's not allowed to say Kriyas Shema. And since one person's behind is touching the other person's behind, and the other person's behind is called an erva, how can he say Kriyas Shema? Says the Gemara, Masayeh Leila Rav Huna, this is proof to Rav Huna, Do'omer Rav Huna, Agovo is in behem mishum erva. The behind of a person is not considered an erva, and therefore if they're touching each other, there's no restriction to say Kriyas Shema like that. Leima Masayeh Leila Rav Huna, we may possibly be able to bring proof to this statement of Rav Huna from a Mishnah. It says, Ha'isha yisheves, a woman is allowed to sit when she's wearing nothing, no clothes, v'koitza lo chalosa, and she can separate chala from the dough, and she can even make a brocha, even though aruma, that she's not wearing any clothes. Mipnei she'ichoylo lechasa is poneho bekarka, because her erva is completely covered on the floor that she's sitting on. And since the erva is not exposed, she's allowed to make a brocha in that position. Avaloi ha'ish, if a man who cannot completely hide his erva, his private parts, he cannot just sit on them like a woman can, and therefore he cannot make the brocha, and he should not take truma like this. So you see from here that the whole issue with the woman was the fact that her erva would be exposed, and if she's on the floor, it's okay. What about her behind? If it would be an erva, it wouldn't be enough that her private parts are covered. Her behind would be an erva, and if they are exposed, she cannot make the brocha. Says the Gemara, it's not a proof. Tir Gemara of Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Kegoyin Chayu Poneo Tuchois Bekarka. Her private parts were completely pressed into the ground. The ground was obviously some soft sand or something, and therefore, since she was completely pressed into the ground, her behind was also not exposed. And this Mishnah would be true even if we would hold that the agovos are called an erva, and therefore we do not have a proof from this Mishnah to Rav Huna. Rav Huna, however, holds that the agovos are not called an erva. Continues the Gemara, Omar Mar, and this is a quote from brisa number 2 we mentioned before. Im hoyu bonov ubnei beisai ktanim, if the other family members with him are minors, are small, muta, there's no problem of hiror, of being distracted, and it's muta to say Kriyas Shema. Ask the Gemara, v'ad kama, How old is called young, or from what age is called godil, is called big? Omar of Chizda, Tinoikes, if it's a girl, it's bas sholei shonim v'yom echod, until she's 3 days, 3 years and a day, she's a minor. From 3 years and a day, it doesn't have to be a whole day, but as soon as she's entered her fourth year, she's already not called a ktana in this context. And the tinoik, in the case of a boy, ben teisha shonim v'yom echod, as soon as he's entered his tenth year, he's already not called a cotton in this context. And this is based on a Gemara in Nida. Ikeda Amra, another opinion holds, Tinoikus, in the case of a girl, Bas Yud Alef Shon of Yom Echod, as soon as she's entered her 12th year, she's already not called a Ketana. But Tinoik, in the case of a boy, Ben Shtemesre Shon of Yom Echod, as soon as he's entered his 13th year, he's already a Godel in this context. And Idi v'Idi, both the age of 11 and a day for a girl and 12 and a day for a boy, is Ad Kedei, is providing that besides for the age of either being 11 and a day or 12 and a day, this also complies with this pasuk, Shodayim Nechoinu, their breasts have been developed, Usa'orich Tzimech, and their hair, probably referring to the pubic hair, has started growing. If you have also the age and also the simonim, then they are called a godel in this context. If they have these simonim, but they are younger than this age, they're still called ketanim. If they're older than this age, which means a girl who's entered her 13th year that we know as bas mitzvah, or a boy has entered his 14th year that we know as bar mitzvah, even in the absence of these simonim, he's called a godel in this context. And one is not allowed to say the Shema if they are there uncovered. Omar le Rav Kahana le Rav Ashi. Hosam, in the case of tefillin, we saw in the Gemara before, Omar Rava, Afel Gavdiv Tuvta de Shmuel, Hilchas Kavasei de Shmuel, we saw at the bottom of Dafchav Gimel Amud Beis, that in the case of putting one's tefillin under one's pillow, when his wife is with him and they're being Mekai Mitzvahs Oina, even though there's a Braisa that says that it's Asa, nonetheless, we paskenek Shmuel, as the Gemara explained, because we want to protect the tefillin. The question is, can we assume that in this Gemara of saying Kriyas Shema, the halacha is also like Shmuel, that afilu ishtoi imoi, even if his wife is with him, and this is nothing to do with mitzvahs oina, she's just lying in the bed there with him, that Shmuel says that also ishto imoy and also somebody else, anyone who's in the bed, they can turn away from each other and say Kriyas Shema. Is the halacha like Shmuel here too? Hochemai, what's the halacha by Kriyas Shema? Omale, Rav Ashi answered to Rav Kahana, Otto kulhu b'chod machtum machtinu. Do you think that all the halachas of Shmuel were said in one go, and if once we said halacha k'Shmuel, it means the halacha is like Shmuel everywhere? Eloheicha d'itmar, itmar. Whoever it says the halacha is like Shmuel, that's where we say it. For example, in the case of the tefillin, it explicitly says the halacha is like Shmuel, so the halacha is like Shmuel there. Veicha d'lo itmar, in the case of Kriyas Shema here, where it did not say explicitly the halacha is like Shmuel, lo itmar, we don't have a clear indication that the halacha is like Shmuel. Continues the Gemara, Omar le Rav Meri le Rav Papa. Rav Meri said to Rav Papa, Seor yoitza bebigdoi mahu. What's the halacha if a person's pubic hair is sticking out of his clothes and can be seen? Is that called that his erva, his private parts, are exposed and therefore one cannot say Kriyas Shema in front of it, or not? Rav Popa stated in reference to Rav Meri, Seor, Seor. It's like saying hair, hair, and there's nothing to it. It's not called an erva, and it's mutter to say Kriyas Shema like that. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rav Yitzchok. Tefach b'isha erva. Any place that the minig was in that particular place, that these places of the woman are regularly covered, and this is even her face and her hands, if that's the minig. Any place that's normally covered and is now exposed, if it's exposed a tefach, it's called an erva. It's called as if she's naked in this context, and one is not allowed to say Kriyas Shema in front of her. Lemai, the Gemara is going to discuss. In what context? Ile melista kulebei. Could it be that this, that what Rabbi Yitzchok said, that tefach b'isha erva, is regarding not Kriyas Shema, but regarding the issa to gaze at a married woman or any woman that is exposed in this way? V'ha'omer of sheishes. it can't be that to gaze at another woman, it's osa if there's a tefach is exposed. Lomo mona hakosuv tachshitin shebachutz im tachshitin shebefnim. The pasuk that speaks about the ornaments of a woman speaks about the ornaments that are external together with the ornaments that are in the private places. Why does the pasuk put the two together? Says of Sheshes, lo ima lecha to teach us that kol hamistakil be'etzba ktana shel isha, a person who gazes even at this little finger of a woman, ki'ilu mistakil b'mokim ha'teiruf, it's as if he's gazing at her most private parts. So you see that even much, much less than a tefach, you're not allowed to gaze at a woman. So when Rabbi Yitzchak said tefach be'isha erva, he could not have been teaching us a halacha regarding the issa of gazing. Elo be'ishtoi, it's talking about his wife, and there's no issa to gaze at any part of his wife. Ula kriyas shema, and it's a halacha for kriyas shema that you're not allowed to say kriyas shema when exposed to an erva. What's called an erva? Tefach of even of his wife, but if she's revealed one tefach which is normally exposed, which is normally hidden, then it's called an erva. Omer of Chizda, Shoik ba'isha erva, the thigh of a woman is considered an erva. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Gali Shoik, Ivri Nahoris, you reveal your thigh, and that's how you'll pass through the rivers. Uchsiv, and the pasuk afterwards it says, Tigal ervaseich, your nakedness will be exposed. Vegam tire cherposeich, gam teiroe cherposeich, and your embarrassment will be seen. And the fact that the Gemara, that the pasuk calls the shoik with the term of erva, you see that shoik beisha erva. Now, this, together with the Gemaras we're about to read, in the Poskim and the Meforshim and the Rishonim, they discuss at length each detail, what it refers to, what's the chiddush, why one part is different to another part, and these are very, very important halachas. It's the halachas of tznias for a woman, the halachas of tefillah for a man, and we're just reading the Gemara kipshutai, but there's a lot in these Gemaras. Omar Shmuel, koil beisha erva, even the voice of a woman is considered an erva. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, ki koileich oriv, your voice is very sweet, umarich nove, and your looks are very nice. And since the pasuk is pointing out the beauty of the voice, then we see that it's an object of desire, and therefore it's called erva. Omer of Sheshes, se'ar beisha erva, the hair of a woman is called an erva. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Sa'areich ke'eder ho'izim, your hair is like a flock of goats. And here again, from the fact that the Torah is praising them, it shows that it's an object of desire and is called an erva. Omar Reb Chanina, Ani ro'isi es Rebbe she'tolo tfilov, I saw that Rebbe would hang his tfilin, he would suspend them, probably from a hook. Meisvei, we're asking a kasha from a braisa. Hatoile tfilov, yitlu leichayov. Somebody who suspends his tfilin, his life will be suspended. Ndoshe chamurais omru, those that would find hidden hints within psukim, they added that the pasuk says, Vahoyu chayecho tluyin lachomi neged, that your life will be suspended in front of you. What does that mean? Ze hatoile tfilov, somebody who hangs his tfilin. So how could Rebbe, according to the witness of Rav Chanina, how could he hang his tefillin? Loi kasha, it's not shver. Ho birutzua, when is it osa, is if you're hanging the tefillin by their straps, and the tefillin are dangling down, that's osa. Ho biktitza, however, if you hang the tefillin, but the boxes themselves, the button themselves, are placed, and are not hanging down, then that's muta. Or it could be loishno ratzua veloishno ktitza osa. One should not hang tefillin either way. Not only not to hang them from their straps, but even not to hang the straps with the bottom on the hook or on the shelf. V'chitolo Rebbe bekisasa tolo. What Rebbe was doing is that he put the tefillin well placed in a pouch and he hung up the pouch. That's muta. Yehochi, if he hung the pouch up, Maile Memra, what was Rav Chanina trying to say a chiddush that he saw Rebbe was hanging his tefillin? What's the problem? Why shouldn't you be doing that? Says the Gemara, Ma'u detema tiboya hanocha, I might have thought that tefillin must be placed on a solid surface. Kasefer Torah, in the same way as the Sefer Torah has to be placed, and even if put in the pouch, that's not enough and it should not be hung. Kumash Malon, he was telling us that Rebbe did not learn like that, and Rebbe assumed that even though with the Sefer Torah it should not be hung in any way, it should be placed. With tefillin, as long as they're in a pouch, the pouch may be hung. Continues the Gemara, Ba'omer of Chanina, Anira Isi es Rebbe, I saw Rebbe doing the following things when he was davening. Shegihek, which some say he let out some gas from his mouth. The second pshat in Rashi, he was stretching. Ufihek, he was yawning. Venisatesh, or sneezing. Veroik, or he spat. Umemashmesh bebegodoy, or he would remove a lice from his clothes, the lice was biting him whilst davening. Avaloi hoyo misateif, but if his talis fell down, he would not put it back onto him in the middle of davening, because it would be a hefsek. Ukashu mefahek, and when he was yawning, hoyo maniach yode al centre, he would put his hand on his chin to cover his open mouth. That's what Rebbe used to do whilst davening. Meisvei, this seems to contradict the Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamashmia koiloi bitfilosoi, if somebody raises his voice when davening, hareze miktane emono, it shows that he's lacking emuna, he's lacking faith, as if Hashem can't hear you when you daven quietly. Hamagbia koiloi bitfilosoi, somebody who shouts when he davens, hareze minevieh asheker, he's similar to the oivda avodazora, the prophets of the idols, they used to shout and scream to their idols. Megahik umefaik hareze migasi aruach, somebody who is either megaik, as we already explained, or mefaik, who is yawning, he's very haughty. Hamisatesh, if somebody is sneezing bitfilosai during davening, simen ralo, it's a bad sign for him. V'yesh oimrim, and some add that nikar shehu mechor, it's evidence that he's a very loathful and not nice person. Haroik bitfilosai, somebody who spits when he davens, ki'ilu roik bifnei melech, it's as if he's spitting before a melech, the king. So, and all these things that Rebbe was doing seem to be contradicting the Braisa that says that these are very, very bad things to be doing in davening. Says the Gemara as follows, bishlei memegahik umefahik loikashya. Now we can explain. Kan lo'intzoi, Rebbe, these things happened to him, he didn't choose to do them. These are natural things that the body just responds, and it's okay. Kan l'ratzoinle, when the Braisa says that megaik umefaik is migasi aruach, that's if you do it intentionally. Then that's a very haughty thing to do in the middle of davening. Elo misatish amisatish kashya. How could Rebbe sneeze? And when it says in the Braisa that somebody who sneezes, it's a bad sign. Says the Gemara, misatish amisatish nami loy kashya, it's also not kashya. I can answer it. Kan milamalo, somebody who sneezes from his nose, that's okay. Kan milamato, but somebody who's letting out gas from below, that's a bad sign. The Omer of Zera, said, Ho milsa ivlo li beirav, this halacha was made known to me in the Beis Medrash of Beirav Hamnuna, utekilo li kikula talmuda, and it's equal to me like all the Torah that I've learned. He appreciated it very much. What did he learn? Hamisatish bitfilosei, somebody who sneezes from his nose whilst davening, simen yofelo, it's a good sign for him. Kashem she'oisim lo inachas ruach milamato, in the same way as he has this feeling of satisfaction when sneezing, here in Olam Hazeh, kach oisim lo inachas ruach milamalo, so too he gets satisfaction, they're giving him satisfaction, and he's deserving of satisfaction in Olam Habo. Elo rok arok kashya, how could Rebbe spit when the Braisa says that somebody who spits is as if he's spitting in front of the Melech? Says the Gemara, Rok arok nami loikashi, I can answer that as well. Efshar could Rav Yehuda. Maybe we can understand it based on Rav Yehuda, the Omer Rav Yehuda. Hoya oimeid betfile, somebody was davening. Venizdamin loiroik, and saliva started collecting in his mouth. Mavlioi betalisoi, he absorbs it into his cloak. He spits it into his cloak. Ve'im talis noehu, if it's a very fine cloak and he doesn't want to do that, mavliyei ba'afrak susoi, he can put it into the straps of his turban that they used to wear. And when the Braisa said that somebody who spits, it's as if he's spitting in front of a melech, that's if he spits on the floor, not into a cloak. Continues the Gemara. Ravina havakoy achoyre de Ravashi. Ravina was standing behind Ravashi, nizdamin loyroik, and some saliva started collecting in his mouth. Potke la achoyre, he threw it behind him, he spat it out behind him. Omale, Ravina said to Ravashi, loysovar lo mar, lohoder of Yehuda, mavliyei ba'afrak susoi. Do you not hold of what Rav Yehuda says that you shouldn't spit it out, you should put it into your cloak? Omalei ano anine datoi. I had no choice. I'm a very sensitive type of person, and it would disgust me to spit out my saliva into my cloak, and therefore I was allowed to spit it behind him. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Braisa hamashmia koilei bitfilosoi, somebody who's tefillah can be heard. Somebody sitting next to him or standing next to him can hear him davening. He's lacking in emuna when if he assumes that Hashem cannot hear him when he's davening quietly. Omer Vuna, lo yishonu elo sheyochel lechavin es libei belechash. This is only true if he can concentrate on his davening, even if he's davening quietly. Aval ein yochel lechavin es libei belechash. If davening quietly will prevent him from being able to concentrate, mutter, he's allowed to raise his voice a little bit, as little as needed, in order to be able to concentrate. And that would not be called miktane amona, because he's not doing it because, so to speak, Hashem can't hear him speaking quietly. It's just that he needs to raise his voice a little bit to be able to concentrate. V'hane mila b'yochid, and that's only allowed when he's davening on his own. Aval b'tzibur, if you're davening with other people in the room, osi l'mitra tzibura, you'll disturb the tzibur, and even if it's going to hurt and disturb your concentration, you have no permission to daven when somebody else can hear you davening, you're disturbing them. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Abba have a mishtamit mineder of Yehuda. Rabbi Abba would avoid Rav Yehuda. Why? To have a ko boy le mesak le Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Abba wanted to go up to Eretz Yisrael, and he knew that Rav Yehuda was not for it. The Omer Rav Yehuda, kol ha'oila mi bovel Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yehuda held that somebody who leaves Bovel to go to Eretz Yisrael, oivir ba'aseh, it's an avera. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, bovelo yuvou v'shomo yiyu ad yoim pokti oisom nu'um Hashem. Hashem said that I'm going to send you to Bovel, and you're going to stay there until I take you out of Golus. And Rav Yehuda learnt that from there we see it's also to go up to Eretz Yisrael. However, Rav Abba wanted to learn from Rav Yehuda. Rav Abba wanted to learn from Rav Yehuda. What did he do? Omar, he said, Ezel v'eshma minei milsa mi beis vada. I'll go from behind the Beis Medrash and I'll listen to what Rav Yehuda is saying. V'hoda apik, and then I'll go up to Eretz Yisrael. Ozal, he went, Ashkechei letana de toni kamed Rav Yehuda. He heard somebody saying over brises in front of Rav Yehuda. What were they saying? Hoya oimed b'tfila. If somebody was davening v'nis atish, and he passes wind from behind while he's davening, mamtin atshi chale aruach, he should wait until the smell passes, v'choizel mispalil, and then he can continue davening. Ikud omra, some said, hoya oimed b'tfila, if he's davening, ubikesh lis atish, and he had an urge to pass the wind, marchik lachoyer of dalad amois, he should step back 4 amos, umis atish, and pass the wind, umamtin atshi chale aruach, and wait until it passes, v'choizer umis palil, and then he can go back and continue davening, v'oimer, but not before he says the following tefillah, Ribbono shel Olam Hashem, yitzartonu, you created us, nekovim, nekovim, with many openings, chalulim, chalulim, with many cavities, golu v'yadua lefanecho, it's clear and open to you, cherposeinu, our shame, uchlimoseinu, and our humiliation, b'chayenu, whilst we're alive, u'ba'achriseinu, and after we pass away, rima v'toileo, the worms will eat away at our bodies. And after saying that tefillah, he can continue his umaschil mimokim sheposak, and from wherever he stopped, he can continue. Omar lei, ilu loibosi elo lishmei adovro zeh, dai, he said that even if it, I would have come just to hear this halacha, it would have been enough, it would have been worthwhile. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Hoyo Yoshein Betaliso. If somebody was in bed without any clothes on, but he was covered over by his sheet, and he cannot even stick his head out of his sheet because it's so cold. But he has to say Kriyas Shema, and Zalocha that if his eyes and his erva, his private parts, are in the same place, in the same rishus, then you cannot say Kriyas Shema. So the Braisa says, Choytzitz, he partitions Betalisoi, Al Tzavoroi, or where his neck is. So what he does is he just puts his hand, somehow he tightens the sheet round where his neck is, forming a type of partition between his eyes and his erva. The Kriya Kriyas Shema, and then he can say Kriyas Shema. We saw a similar thing in the Gemara before, in the Mishnah actually, that if he's a Bal Keri and he went to Toivel and he's in the mikveh and it's time for Kriyas Shema and he does not have time to get out, so his head is above the water and his body is under the water, and that itself acts as a separation. Says the Gemara, Yesh Oimrim Aliboy, and some say that he has to make a partition over his heart because his heart is not allowed to see the erva. The Tanakama are Liboy Royas erva. The Tanakama who says that it's enough to make a partition where his eyes are, between his eyes and his erva, where his neck is, what are they going to say? His heart can still see the erva. Says the Gemara, Kosova Liboy Royas or erva muta. The Tanakama holds the problem is only his eyes seeing the erva, or being able to see the erva, and not the heart. Continues the Gemara, Omar Avuna. If somebody is going in the filthy alleyways and he wants to say Kriyas Shema, he covers his mouth, the mouth that are going to say the holy words of the Kriyas Shema, he should cover them, and he can say Shema because his mouth is covering and is a mechitza, is a partition between his mouth and the filth in the alleyways. Omale Rav Chisda said to Elikim, oh my God, as they say, Hashem, im omra li Rav Yechonon bepumei, even if Rav Yechonon would tell me this halach himself, not just he heard it from Rav Huna in the name of Rav Yechonon, lo itzai sinolei, I would not listen to him. There's no such thing as being able to say the Shema in the filthy alleyways. Ikad omra, others say, Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chono, Omar Bishua Ben Levi, Hoya Mahalich B'mavois Hamutunafois, Maniach Yodei Al Piv V'Kero Kriyas Shema, like we saw before in the name of Rabbi Yechonon. Omar Lei, Rav Chisda, and here again it was Rav Chisda who responded to Elikim, Im Omar Li Rabbi Shua Ben Levi B'Puma, even if Rabbi Shua Ben Levi would tell me this halacha himself, Lo Yitzaisino Lei, I would not listen. Rav Chisda clearly does not allow somebody to say Kriyas Shema whilst walking through the filthy alleyways. Says the Gemara, Umi Omar Rav Huna Hachi, did Rav Huna really say such a thing that whilst walking through these alleyways one can say the Shema providing he covers his mouth? V'ha'omar Rav Huna said, Talmud Chacham also lo ilamid v'mokim hatinoifus. It's also for Talmud Chacham to stand in the filthy places. L'fisha i'ef shelo ilamid b'li hirur. It's not possible for a Talmud Chacham to be standing without hirur Torah, without Torah thoughts. And if he can just cover his mouth, then what's the problem? And if it's also because of his Torah thoughts, then even more so to say Kriyas Shema it should be also. What does it help to cover his mouth? Says the Gemara, Loi Kasha, Kan Ba'oimed, Kan Ba'mahalech. To stand in the filthy places, that's called making this your place. And Zalocha V'hoyo Machanecho Kodesh. If it's your place, it has to be clean. And if there's filth there, then it doesn't matter if you cover your mouth, you don't cover your mouth, you cannot think or say Dvorim Shebekdusha. But if you're just walking through, then it doesn't become your place, and providing that you're covering your mouth, you can even say Shema. Continues the Gemara, Umi Omer Rabbi Yechonon Hochi? Did Rabbi Yechonon really say that a person is allowed to say the Shema whilst walking through the filthy alleyways? V'ha Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chono Omer Rabbi Yechonon. B'chol Mokei Mutel Harer B'divrei Teira. A person is allowed to think Torah thoughts anywhere besides chutz, mi beis hamerchatz, from a bathhouse, or mi beis hakisei, or in a beis hakisei. And this includes any of the filthy alleyways. So it says clearly, Rabbi Yechonon does not allow a person to have Torah thoughts in these alleyways. So how can Rabbi Yechonon say that you can say Kriyas Shema in these alleyways if you cover your mouth? V'chi teima, are you going to suggest, hochanami here too, we can answer, kan ba'oimed, kan b'mahalich, that Rabbi Yochanan allows it when he's walking, as long as he doesn't stop. But if he stops, then it's asa. Eini, that can't be. V'harabavohu have a ka'ozil abasreid Rabbi Yochanan. Rabavohu was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan. V'hava kokori kriya shema, and Rabavohu was saying kriya shema. Kimoto, when Rabbi Avohu came to the filthy alleyways, ishtik, he paused. You're not allowed to say Kriyas Shema. Omale Rabbi Yochanan, afterwards, when he finished and he got to the other side of the alleyways, it was now in a clean place, he said to Rabbi Yochanan, Lehecho Nahadir, where should I go back to? Should I start Shema again, or should I continue where I stopped? Omale Rabbi Yochanan answered him, we saw this already on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. If you waited long enough that you could say the whole Shema, then it's too much of a break and you have to go back to the beginning. So you see from here that Rabbi Yochanan didn't tell him, why did you stop? He was okay with the fact that Rabbi Avohu stopped. Even though he was walking through, he appreciated the fact that Rabbi Avohu stopped the Shema whilst walking through. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that in the Mavoi Samutun office you can say Shema? Says the Gemara Hochikomale, this is what he actually meant and intended to say to Rabbi Avohu. Ledidi, according to me, Rabbi Yochanan, loisvirili, I hold you could have continued saying the Shema all the while that you're walking. Leditcho, according to you, Rabbi Avohu, the svir lecho that you hold, that you had to stop, im shohiso kadei ligmer es kula choyze loroish, if you made too much of a break, you have to start the Shema again. Continues the Gemara, Tanya kavaseidu Rav Huna, Tanya kavaseidu Rav Chizda. We found a brisa for each of the two opinions, Rav Huna and Rav Chizda. Tanya kavaseidu Rav Huna, hamahalich mevois hamutunofois maniach yodoy al piv v'yikra kriyas Shema. You see explicitly in the brisa that somebody who's walking through these alleyways and needs to say Shema, it's enough to cover his mouth. Tanya kavaseidu Rav Chizda. There's another brisa like Rav Chizda who strongly opposed that psak. And the brisa goes as follows: Hoyo mahalich b'mavois hamutunofis lo yikra kriyas Shema. When you're going through these alleyways, do not read the kriyas Shema. V'loy oid. Not only that. Elosh im hoyo koyre ubo. If you were in the middle of reading the Shema when you got to these alleyways, poisuk. You should stop. Loy posak. If you don't stop, my Omer of Miyasha bar b'reido b'shua b'nevi alav akos of Omer. The posuk says. V'gam ani nosati lohem chukim lo toivim u'mishpotim lo yichyu bohem. There's a concept of somebody who's doing the mishpotim, he's doing the mitzvahs, but they're not causing him life because he's doing them wrong. And here too, you might be saying the Shema, but you're saying it in mavois hamutunofis, no life will come from that. Rav Asi Omar, Rav Asi says a different posuk refers to such a person. The posuk says, hoi, woe, moishche ha'ovoin, people that pull Averus bechavle hashov with cords of falsehood. And here too, in the same way as these cords are very, very weak, this person, in such an easy way, all he's doing is speaking, he's pulling upon himself avera and punishment. That's why it's called chavle hashov. These are cords which are useless. It's like nothing to them. That's why they're called false. So too, all I'm doing is speaking, right? But you're saying the Shema in places that you're not allowed to is an avera. Rav Ada bar Ava Omar Mehocha, he says that the which pasuk is referring and applicable to such a person? Kidvar Hashem Boza, he scorned Hashem. You're saying Shema, but look where you're saying it, in the filthy alleyways. V'imposak, and if he does stop saying the Shema when he comes to these places, Maschore, what will be his reward? Omar Bavo. You're going to be deserving of Arichus Yomim. And in Mitzvah Hashem, in our next year, we're going to start from here.